friends, I'm Sharon McMahon, host of Here's Where It Gets Interesting, where you'll learn about American history, current events, and so much more. Follow and listen to me on Here's Where It Gets Interesting on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're just going to make me shout myself hoarse. You're not a football. You're not. You don't want what's best for the Browns is what bothers me. You just want what's best for your own entertainment.
See, I'm Stipe.
And now you're laughing about it.
I'm Stipe in this example when he would let the other heavyweights get exhausted for the first four rounds.
I'm not exhausted. I'm exasperated. There's a true difference. I am exasperated. The second I start to understand your opinion, or the second I start to respect your opinion of the game of football, well, you start to pull the crap you're pulling. What, Owen's got a clip of us losing our mind. This is going to be embarrassing. Fine, I'm this mad over a preseason game against the Panthers.
Wait, you want to see four quarterbacks split reps for another 3 weeks?
No,
you
think when you were saying that the guy was throwing to ball boys last week, and now all of a sudden he's getting first-round picks, and you want him to be thrown all over the place? You're nuts.
You're not
putting him in a position to be successful, and then you're being the exact same Browns terrible franchise that everybody's saying you are.
If you think the only way for him to be made to be successful is to hand the ball off in preseason game one against third stringers, then what the hell? Then you clearly don't think he's good either.
Do your homework and understand that Dave Canales is saying they're going to play first stringers.
So in the second quarter,
And for you just wanting to see something, wanting to be entertained,
to see if
is part of the exact reason why we're in this problem in the first place. How did I not drop F-bomb after F-bomb on you? I got to play that for my son.
Why are all my responses getting edited out there?
Because he's mad at you because you're finally letting him have it, and I'm not the bad guy to say the bad news.
That is certainly a different Ken Carmen from this Ken Carmen yesterday.
Make it forgettable.
Just give me a forgettable season, Cleveland Browns.
I didn't know he was starting Friday yesterday.
We're not going to have a forgettable preseason. That is damn sure.
No, sir.
Want to talk about a gift? We can admit, gift from the gods, what Kevin Stefanski gave us yesterday.
Allegedly. We'll find out more from him today at 9:30. He could always just go, I don't know where you guys got those reports. Tyler Huntley starting.
Oh, my God.
Well, if we want to talk about gifts, that'd be more of the gift than him going, they got it right. The reports were right.
Boy, you'd be pretty shocked if that were to happen. Feel bad for Mary Kay if that were the case. 216-474-0092. I want to get to the phones here because we only have so much time. Kevin Stefanski, his press conference should roll off live 9:30. I know that there's very heavy rain down in Carolina right now, down in Charlotte. They're at Bank of America Stadium working out. Getting ready for their joint practice between the Cleveland Browns and the Carolina Panthers before they do battle, quote-unquote, coming up on Friday in preseason game number one. You said you got people over there going, Ken just wants to run ISO the whole game. No, man. Damn. But I want to make sure he's taken care of because you got the same people who are upset that he's thrown to, quote-unquote. Now, I don't know if he's thrown to ball boys. I'm just going by what Daryl said. That's our beat reporter. Daryl said the guy's throwing to literal ball boys. So you go from throwing to ball boys to taking first team reps. I'm going to take care of you. We're not going five wide here. Plus, it's a Kevin Stefanski offense. If we're going to do, he is not your run-of-the-mill fifth-round pick. And to say so, to act like he is being pretty naive. I'm not just going to put him in harm's way. With ones, without ones, whatever, because even if he's a fifth-round pick, he still needs to fit into more of a system that I believe is going to protect him and help him. So, when they get the ball after the opening kickoff, I'm fine if he turns right around and hands it off to Jerome Ford and makes it second and six. You're going to throw a couple of passes. You'll throw the ball. You'll try to let it rip one time. But you don't want him to throw it all over the place just to go nuts.
I guess, Ken, I've just seen so many...
Just so you guys are all entertained, you can have your drinks and enjoy it.
I've seen so many objectively bad young quarterbacks have unbelievable preseason games that I'm like, man, why not see if, at the very least, Shador can do some of that? We've seen when he's been given the opportunity to improvise, make some plays, and then we argue, well, would it have been a sack in a real game? Well, now we have a real game. Let's see. Let's see if any of the bad habits are being worked on. I expect him to have some issues. I also, knowing that you and I both agreed pre-draft that he had talent, that he had real talent. We did not agree about Dylan Gabriel with what the Browns did. Me and you probably, I think we didn't talk a lot of Dylan Gabriel, But I imagine me and you were on the same page that we didn't think Dylan Gabriel was
shocked. Yeah, I was shocked.
Had some big ceiling or anything that the Browns needed to capitalize on this. But Shador was different. Me and you both were pretty damn excited when we were, maybe we were misled, but when we thought he could be going in the first round.
But I don't want to throw him out there in harm's way just to see something, because I know what happens here. If they're anything, they try to be, Kevin Stefanski, I want him to try to be responsible. And if he doesn't do something like that, if he does what you're saying, that's an irresponsibility to me. Because you say you've seen so many objectively bad quarterbacks in preseason games. Yeah, you have. I've seen a lot of nondescript fifth-round picks be in preseason games. I don't think we've ever seen a fifth-round pick. You can't tell me that people aren't asking what if with this guy. They would have never asked what if with any of the other names I mentioned in the last hour. There's no way, even the hater of haters is wondering to themselves, what if it clicks with him? What if? Why? Because of everything that led up to the draft, because of what Mel Kiper was doing, the days of the draft, getting emotional over it, for crying out loud. People wanting to sue the NFL and Mel Kiper wanting to go after everybody for this. You haven't had a fifth round draft pick like this. So I'm going to take care of him. I'm going to take care of him like he was drafted in the first or second round. That's the way I'm going to do it. Because to just throw him out there is to just throw another pick away. There should be some ceiling there. Most fifth-round picks, you don't believe that there's a ceiling. You hope that they are a backup. You cannot tell me there's not a ceiling there, a high ceiling that they can reach. Mike and Stowe, you're first up on the Fan.
Good morning, guys. How are you guys doing?
I'm calm. I'm calming down. I don't want to lose my voice before the preview show tonight, so I'm trying to keep it calm.
I'm really glad I'm with the commercial, because I hate following, like, a blow, you know, you guys going at it like that. I don't know where to go, because I'm trying to calm down after my yesterday. I got sacked yesterday on your call show for the first time, and I'm like, you know, I'm trying to.
I'm sorry.
You know, work. No, I deserved it. I understand. I try to get it on his show to tell him what I feel, but I can't, because they won't stop repeating themselves. Jonathan Repeaterlin, you know,
well,
that
you
guy.
Can't. Well, Mike, hold up. I suggest, call in under assumed name and go after them on their show. I can't let you just go rip guys on other shows on my show. They're not here to defend themselves. If Jonathan were sitting here in studio, go right after him. That's fine. I can't let you do that on this one. It's the same thing with coming in hot. Like, if you guys are ripping on certain media members, if they're sitting here, have at it. If they're not, I can't really allow it. It's just the rule, man. Jim in Concord Township, you're next up on the Fan.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Glad to have you.
I'm with Kenny all the way on this. I've been a Shador guy since Jackson State. I think he's getting thrown into a tough situation, but I'll guarantee you this, Kenny. I've watched him. He's physically and mentally tough. Even if he goes down in flames Friday, he'll rise again, because that's what kind of kid he is. So I'm not that worried about it. Hopefully,
why would you care then if they let him air it out a little bit?
I care because, you know, I know from playing sports, he had no opportunity to go against Myles Garrett, Denzel Ward, Greg Newsome, and that defense up until now. Now he's going against the first string defense. He has no rapport with his receivers, Jerry Jeudy and all them. So it's a disadvantage.
Sure, but wouldn't that be awesome if he overcame that disadvantage? Wouldn't you think so much more highly of him if he was able to? What a story that would be the next day. That would be a national story. Shador, who never had the opportunity, balls out while everybody was watching. The haters were watching. He Browns did everything they could to limit his reps, and boom, this kid is what they call a player. He is gutsy. What a performance. You wouldn't love that?
I would love that, but it's probably not going to happen, because they've been telling him he's not good enough to play, against the first team. Now they're throwing him in against the first team. But I think he'll be fine. I think long term, he's still going to be our quarterback. I still have faith in the kid.
Jim, my thought to it, and thank you very much for the call, obviously, and thank you for agreeing with me, is, yeah, it would be great, but I don't want them to do that to him on purpose. I want them to take care of him. I want them to take care of him the way they would a first or second round pick. Chip in Cleveland, you're next up on the Fan.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Doing well, Chip.
With Shador, and I'm a Shador guy, but I think that the best the best course of action is just, or the best scenario is for him just to kind of alleviate some of the knocks he had going into camp, like how he handled pressure, drifting back, playing under center, things like that. You know, is he able to get into the right protection? Is he able to check down to a back when the pressure gets in, rather than drifting backwards and taking unnecessary sacks and holding on to the ball too long, waiting for somebody to come open? Mm-hmm. I mean, I think if he's able to show that, you know, check out a bad plays, I think, you know, that's the best scenario for us. And the one thing, whether you like Stefanski or not, the one thing he has been able to do is to come out with an opening script, you know, get the plays that the quarterback, whoever, and it doesn't matter what quarterback he's had, he has so many that he's able to get them in plays that they're comfortable with, that they're able to be successful with. And I think if he just does that, he'll be fine.
That's why I'm perfectly fine. Chip, I got it because I have a hard out here because we got to get to Kevin Stefanski at 9:30. Thank you very much for the call. That's why, guys, I am perfectly fine. I am not going to come in here. I think I know what's going to happen. If I know Kevin, the way you and I know Kevin, Anthony, is he's going to be like 7 of 8, or he's not going to throw it very much. Shedeur Sanders. And people will be mad that he didn't open up the offense. But I'm telling you, I guess I'm going to be a big bastard on Monday because I'm going to say you took good care of him because he didn't have a lot of reps for the first teams. So you did what you were supposed to do. You protected him the right way. And I don't want to hear Lewis Riddick or Bob Griffin or anybody else. But I mean, Bob Griffin's just nuts. But Lewis Riddick will be responsible about it. Lewis Riddick's a great guy. I don't want to hear any of the other ones say, well, they didn't turn him loose, because now you're just... you just hate the Browns. You're just going after the Browns for anything. Sometime between 9:40, 9:45 is when Kevin Stefanski is going to be talking. Again, the weather has delayed some things down there.
I am listening to the feed. It's just rain right now.
This summer has sucked for weather. Like, it's delayed everything. Like, you barely got any Little League games in. You had to cancel a couple of these. We had to end a practice early because of lightning. Don't even start with me over there. Don't even start. Well,
we didn't have that problem at all.
Yeah, congratulations.
We were charged up. We had a bunch of Sean Merrimans out there just
yes,
getting after
it. Lights were out. Yes, of course. So Kevin Stefanski was originally slotted for 9:30. We're looking at about 9:40, 9:45, somewhere in there. So make sure you're listening. 92.3 The Fan, 92.3TheFan.com. It does give you time to talk about so I've kind of waffled on this. We've argued about other things. Did you see the Mike Silver thing about Dylan Gabriel?
I did.
Trade offers were made. Now, I think I do believe that Mike Silver, I mean, let's be honest, I don't have really any respect for him. But I guess we have to talk about it. He does work for the Athletic.
And he was at Browns camp last week, I think.
Hey, wonderful.
So obviously he goes to Browns camp and then a few days later has this nugget. So the Browns told him this.
So they had trade offers for Dylan Gabriel. What were the trade offers? Because does it say that they were offered third or better picks for Dylan Gabriel? Because if they were offered third or better, people would say immediately, get rid of him. Get rid of him. Well, you got to think about it. If another team's willing to offer you something ridiculous, it's not realistic, but just to go over it real quick. If somebody's willing to offer you something very nice for Dylan Gabriel, he's a rookie, so you have to think, okay, what are they seeing that we haven't seen yet in practice? So if they see it, let's see if we can hold on to this guy, and let's get the best out of Dylan Gabriel.
Wait, when did the trade offers come in?
Apparently they came in after they took Shedeur Sanders.
Like that night?
I don't know if it came in that night, but that was the conversation that was had. That's during this offseason, trade requests or trade possibilities have came in over Dylan Gabriel, which if he hasn't thrown, you're not going to really entertain that unless it's crazy. And if he has thrown and they're there and they're crazy, well, then I guess you'd consider it. But again, how much would you entertain if they were around he's drafted or a little bit below?
I think what probably happened here is there were probably other teams in the league that saw them take Shedeur and they were like, oh, we could probably take advantage of the Browns now because the ownership has decided to intervene here. That's probably what my takeaway would be. You know why I know that? Because that's what most of the fans' takeaway was, that there's no way at that time. I know that they've come out and tried to dispel that sense, but that there's no way that this wasn't an owner selection. And if the owner is telling the organization,
hey, friends, I'm Sharon McMahon, host of Here's Where It Gets Interesting. Each week, I speak with authors, experts, and thought leaders on everything from American history and democracy to how to be a better person on the internet. And don't miss my extremely popular docuseries, which educate you on things you never learned in history class. Follow and listen to Here's Where It Gets Interesting on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Take Shador Sanders for all the other business reasons you might want to take him. And because it's a down year, probably going to take a quarterback the next year. For all the reasons that we've laid out, like maybe we can take advantage of steal a quarterback that we otherwise may not have had a shot to get a little bit later in the draft. So that does make sense to me. I don't think that's out of the realm of possibility. We know how teams and people feel about Jimmy Haslam around the NFL.
I understand that, but again, what are you willing to offer? Because you're not going to take a guy in the third round and trade him later on, trade him for, you know, a worse pick, unless he's gone out there and you just know that he's not worth it. But you're not going to do that yet.
Yeah, and I didn't read Silver's tweet. I didn't read that tweet. Congratulations on all your success.
You're blocked too.
I did not read that tweet and think, oh, this happened way later. This sounds like in the madness of the draft. Like, I think everybody was shocked when they took Shador because it made no sense. No teams take a quarterback in a third round and then a fifth round. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's just not a way that most teams would operate. They probably thought the Browns were in a vulnerable state of affairs and maybe the GM was feuding with the owner. I could see other teams thinking that.
It would seem to be madness. Yeah, I do think that if you go to trade requests, I think there's going to be not trade requests, but trade offers. I think you're going to see that there's way more trade offers than you would ever really think for multiple people, not just when they get out in the news. You know, we thought about the whole Dylan Gabriel thing. You're not going to get anything better than a third round pick. And I think if you are offered anything, yeah, somebody would offer you a sixth, seventh, fifth round, probably not even a fifth. Sixth or seventh round pick, you're not going to do that. You're not going to torpedo your own good name. You could say it's based on ego. Who knows? Maybe the kid's going to be able to do good. Like, you can't just give up on Dylan Gabriel because you've had a bad week of reports from Daryl and some others. It hasn't been a good week for Dylan Gabriel. And then he got, he popped his hamstring, apparently, towards the end of that last week. So now you have a problem, but you can't just give in on him right now. Adam Schefter, he was on ESPN. Of course, he is on ESPN. And he was on an episode of his podcast. And he had this to say about the possibility of the Browns carrying four quarterbacks.
I actually now think the Browns are more likely than not to carry four quarterbacks on their final 53-man roster. I think both rookie quarterbacks are on the Browns' final 53-man roster. Joe Flacco right now seems to be the man who is in the lead today, prior to the preseason games, for the Browns' starting quarterback job. So that leaves us back to Kenny Pickett, and not to mention Snoop Huntley. And I would say this, Kenny Pickett is still young. Kenny Pickett is a former first-round draft pick. Kenny Pickett is a quarterback. Teams that have a need at that position, if they suffer an injury, you would think that one of the first teams that they would call would be the Cleveland Browns. Quarterbacks in this league are currency. So would you rather have a eighth offensive lineman, a ninth defensive lineman, a sixth linebacker, a seventh wide receiver, whatever it may be, or would you rather have a fourth quarterback? I think in the end, ultimately, they're going to go with four quarterbacks.
I think he's right.
By the way, Tyrod Taylor went down yesterday at Jets camp. So every time a quarterback goes down with any kind of an injury until we find out how significant, you know, makes sense that you'd start to speculate what that means.
I mean, that's, by the way, audio courtesy of the Adam Schefter podcast from ESPN as well on that Spotify, the whole deal. I mean, he's totally right about that. If the trade would have to knock their teeth out for them to make a trade of one of these four QBs. Joe Flacco, he stays because he's 40 and he sets the tone for the season with your veterans. Kenny Pickett, just what he said, former first-round pick. There might be gold in them their hills that they could see whether or not they want to resurrect. I think they're pretty upset over the hamstring injuries there with those two guys. They clearly like Dillon Gabriel. A third-round pick, we'll see. I know that they like Dillon Gabriel apparently more than the fans do. Shedeur Sanders, the more you think about it, the more that their history would tell you he'd be the odd man out. That's why when you talk about the owner, it's like, well, that there's got to be wheels to something like that. Because if you go back to the fifth round and you could see where they go, okay, fine, quarterbacks are currency the way that Adam Schefter says it, but you've added so much to the room and you've added a major celebrity to the room. So you add that major celebrity to the room, now you have to find spots for him. And you're adding a guy like, listen, I ain't got nearly as passionate over Kenny Pickett or Joe Flacco even, and we went to the playoffs with Joe Flacco. I just enjoyed the ride. I haven't got nearly as passionate about anybody else other than Shedeur Sanders in this group. But I think that's why they go in with all four, because when you have a guy that's injured, Tyrod Taylor goes down, that you said that. Who's calling you going, I got to have Kenny Pickett? I got to have Dillon Gabriel. I got to have Shedeur Sanders. Who's Joe Flacco was one of the guys who were later off the heat.
That is interesting because I actually have to think about it for a second because Joe Flacco wasn't good last year. So I actually don't think, you know, some Browns fans have said, oh, so some other teams will come calling for Joe Flacco if there's an injury. I'm like, I don't know. Flacco was pretty bad last year. Then you mentioned Kenny Pickett. I got Nathan Zagura in my head right now. What did Nathan Zagura say like a month ago, making a case for Pickett? Like in a kind of prehistoric offense, he was able to go above 500, had the clutch gene in him at times, some late comeback victories, seemed to have the faith of his teammates. I think maybe you could get a call for Kenny Pickett, even though here in Cleveland, we think he is
you would get a
dreadful because we've made fun of him for
so
2 years.
So what would a team be willing to give up for Kenny Pickett, and what would they want out of Kenny Pickett? Would they want him to start their season?
I think he could come in and start for a team if they were in duress.
Well,
yeah.
Guess what? I present you the 2025 Cleveland Browns under duress, and they need a quarterback. So the offer has to be almost unrealistic for me to give up on any of them. Because I find reasons to hold on to every single one of them because we are so devoid of the position. And not a lot's expected this year. So if we're not having a lot of expectations, like if we're talking 5 wins at best, I know John said 7 yesterday, and that'd be great, fine. But if we're saying 5 wins at best for a lot of us here, then what's the point of trading any of these guys? Why wouldn't you see if they could work it out for your own team? Why wouldn't you see that? I mean, if somebody comes to you with a first-round pick, like, okay, fine, first-round picks, you need all the first-round picks you can get, and maybe you think you're hoodwinking somebody. But if they come to you with a trade offer, by the way, Kevin Stefanski, 940, 945, make sure you're staying around for that one. If you're the Browns, you're thinking, I got to hold on to these guys to see what they have for me. I need a quarterback. I mean, does that not make sense to you? People might just want to trade one of these guys so it narrows it down and you only got 3 guys, you only have to worry about 3 guys, but you're the Browns. You're open to any quarterback there is. So if it's the most open job, I don't know if it certainly wasn't the most quote-unquote fair race. I don't know if there's any such thing as a fair competition when it comes to quarterback. We're finding that out again. But I think for the Browns, like, hey, your job might be open, but because the job is open, that means that there's a possibility where you could talk yourself into any one of those guys. And if we're talking about fifth-round picks, I don't know. What are you going to do with a fifth-round pick next year if you trade away Kenny Pickett and he ends up being a good football player for you? If you trade away any one of these other guys, fifth, sixth, seventh-round pick, and they end up being a good football player for you? Like, I know not a lot of people could say anything great about Dillon Gabriel right now. All right, it's been a bad week. If Dillon Gabriel can come back, be healthy, and catch fire during camp or into the season, well, then you're laughing eventually. So you don't want to give up on any of those guys. So it's still premature. And I ask, of the 4 quarterbacks you have, late trade, late picked up, third round, fifth round, if a guy gets hurt, who says, gotta have one of them 4? Not very many, if any. Between now and 9:45, they're telling us. Weather seems to be clearing up a little bit. Apparently, Shedeur Sanders, as he is wont to do, the first one out on the field. Go back to our archives, 92.3thefan.com. Albert Breer was on yesterday, spoke to the guys in the afternoon. Do you know, I felt like if it were Daryl and there were an argument there, because it's like, okay, you have guests on. Do you really want to fight them? There seemed to be something brewing there between Albert Breer and Jonathan Peterlin on who the most talented quarterback on the roster is. Talented. And I have to admit, I agree with Albert Breer on that. It's something I kind of want to bring up tomorrow or maybe Friday as we get ready for this preseason game and everything going on. Also, we went around the AFC North. All three guests on Around the AFC North, they all said they're going to go out of their way. They're going to sit down and watch a little bit of Shedeur Sanders on Friday. There's three games going on in the NFL on Friday in the preseason, week one of the preseason, Detroit, Atlanta, Washington, and New England. Is Drake May playing on Friday? Do we know? We don't know yet. He might be a guy that should pay attention, but it's 7:30, so if it's 7 o'clock, a kickoff for the Cleveland Browns, you're going to go, okay, definitely want to see what Shedeur Sanders, good, bad, ugly, whatever it might be. You want to see what he has. Now, this is something I'm going to have to fight coming up here because I might be a little bit nervous tomorrow about this. Are you looking up the stats for what Kevin Stefanski has let these guys do in the preseason?
Yeah, because I want to see if there was any way that there was a takeaway, a standard for how often he was giving quarterbacks or young quarterbacks an opportunity to really sling it during preseason.
Yeah, and do you have any numbers yet?
Holy cow. I didn't realize, maybe because I've been at the feast for too many of these games and not really dialed in. So I'm going to give you passes thrown, okay? Attempted throws. And keep in mind, most of these are for a half because they played multiple guys and you're splitting the reps. DTR, I've got four games worth. 18, 17, 20, and 25. Okay, Huntley, 20 and 22. Kellen Mond, 24. Dobbs, 20. Another one, 20. Rosen, 20. Brissett, a little older, obviously, 23. And then, who is Laualeta, Kenny?
Chase?
Kyle?
Kyle! Oh, that's
Kyle,
right. Sorry.
Laualeta?
I thought it was
Laualeta?
Kyle Laualeta.
Laualeta.
Okay.
Couldn't tell you.
He played for the Giants, didn't know. I'm thinking of
Chase Laualeta.
Okay. 23, 23, and 22. So remember, these are all halves. You were talking about, I think, we'll probably see Shedeur throw it seven times, eight times. Okay, well, we'll see. Because if he does that, then we'll see that they are definitely babying him. And then you could do champion's pose on that if that's the case in this game on Friday night at Carolina.
Well, then you could use that against, if you want to, you could use that against Shedeur and go, wow, he really doesn't trust him. Look at what he did with Kyle. I'm telling you, he played for the Giants.
Okay.
I know there was Sean Landetta, who was the punter.
Kyle Laualeta,
who also, I believe, played quarterback for the Giants. Did he not?
I am pulling it up now.
Why are we wasting each other's time?
At Richmond, and then he was with the Giants.
Yeah, there we go. He's a former Spider.
And the Eagles, and the Falcons, and the Browns, and the Jags, and the Maulers, and the Generals.
And a big reason why that is, it wouldn't be surprised. Kenny, you're the football guy, so maybe you could account for this. And
yeah,
stay
right.
tuned, because Kevin Stefanski is going to talk any second now.
He's a football guy.
We'll cut me off the way that our producer did earlier in the show on some of our rejoins.
Ooh.
So, you're the football guy, but it wouldn't surprise me if Stefanski, even though they want to run the football this year, he has confidence they're going to be able to run the football. What can they work on? Work on the passing game, always. Always work on that passing game, because he's got his offensive linemen. I mean, they've been through all of this. They've been through all of this for so many years. You got so many veterans.
Uh-huh.
He might think that and you tell me if there's an error in this logic, that they're going to be able to run the football. So let's work on throwing. Let's work on all of that. Let's work on the timing. Let's get as many opportunities to do that as possible, as long as the quarterback's not getting killed.
Yeah.
The quarterback's getting killed. All right. Well, you have the chance to adjust.
That's why I do want to know from Kevin, and I don't know if we're going to get an answer here in the next couple of minutes, but I kind of want to know from Kevin, how many ones is he going to play with on Friday?
Yeah.
Is he playing with the starting offensive line? Will Joel Bitonio be out there? Does he start with starters except for Joel? I think that these are legitimate questions to ask. Is he throwing to Jerry Jeudy on Friday? Is Jerry going to play in this game? We have to ask these questions, because I think that that's part of how we evaluate Shedeur Sanders. It's how we would evaluate Dylan Gabriel if he were available. So these questions have to be asked. 216-474-0092. Because if Dave Canales is going to play some ones, I'd like to hear from Dave Canales today how many ones he actually intends on playing. Again, I hate that we might not find out any of this until tomorrow or Friday. But I would like to find out today, considering it's just practice. It's a practice game. It's a joint practice today. It's a practice game on Friday. I would like to see what they're doing, because if it's ones-on-ones for at least a series, and then maybe Shador's with the twos and whoever their backup quarterback comes out with, like, I would like to see that. Because Shador could play with the ones and the twos, and I would still be okay. Give him some nice season in there. Give him the reps. See what he can do. That'd be fine. If he's going to play against the ones in practice last week, I'd like him to play with the ones this week.
Hey friends, I'm Sharon McMahon, host of Here's Where It Gets Interesting. Each week, I speak with authors, experts, and thought leaders on everything from American history and democracy to how to be a better person on the internet. And don't miss my extremely popular docuseries, which educate you on things you never learned in history class. Follow and listen to Here's Where It Gets Interesting on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.